Good morning.
I'd
like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'd turn with me in your bulletins, we'll go over today's opportunities and announcements. Tuesday night at 6:30, we have Finance Committee meeting. And Wednesday night at 6:30, there's prayer and Bible study. Thursday night at 6 to 7:30 is Crusaders Club. It's career night, so if the kids want to dress up as the career that they would like to go into. Looking ahead, if you'd like to help with the Easter breakfast or graduation breakfast, there's a sign-up sheet posted on the bulletin board. Need volunteers for the food committees and decoration committees. If you have any ideas or suggestions for the new addition, please make them on the drawings you received at the business meeting and get them to Conrad by the end of February. Your questions, suggestions, and ideas are welcomed. The Crusaders Carnival is March 14th. There's also a sign-up sheet for that on the bulletin board. The game for game helpers and food supply for refreshments that night. They're going to have tacos. Also, as a reminder, VBS is on June 10th through the 14th. Looks like there'll be a sign-up sheet soon for the workers and craft supplies and refreshments. Have a thank you card here. It says, "Friends at Baptist Christian, thanks for inviting me to share with you and for your gift. I enjoyed our time together. I especially enjoyed the excitement and enthusiasm of the young ones. You all were a real blessing and encouragement. Thanks again for all you do to partner with us. Blessings, James and Lori Gabhart." This week's memory verse is from Acts 17:28. "For in him we live and move." I'm sorry, let me start that over. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here. You're getting out to enjoy the sunshine before the week turns sour on us, aren't you? Huh? It's supposed to be a February week, I think, and getting close to sectionals, so that means, you know, you got to have snow and ice and bad weather. I don't know why it is that way, but it is. We're glad you're here to worship this morning and trust that you have come expecting to meet with the Lord. You can see all the things that are going on, and so just minister where you can. Let's bow and ask the Lord to minister to us today. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessings. We have come this morning to meet with you, to worship you, to remember that you have provided fully for us in this past week, to be taught from your word and allow the Spirit of God to instruct, correct, reprove, discipline us. Our Father God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for all that you provide, and for the privilege of worshiping together as a family in Christ, for the privilege of friendship. It is our great privilege to share with you this morning our tithes and offerings. And Father, we thank you so much for the prosperity, for the security. We thank you for the way you just minister to us far more than we could ever ask or expect. And so all of this hour is offered to you, and we trust that it will be pleasing in thy sight and a sweet-smelling savor to you. We ask that you'll minister to us as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand for the reading of God's word. This is part of Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, and the theme is God will judge the world by the resurrected Lord Jesus. Verse 24, "God who made the world and all things in it, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. And you may be seated. Thank you.
Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, the great I am, we thank you for inviting us into your presence this morning. We thank you for calling us to this time to worship you. And Father, we thank you for our great salvation in Christ. And we ask you to forgive us for taking that so lightly many times and for taking it for granted. We need what you have for us this morning. It's been a hard weekend battle. Our Father, it's hard for us to remember sometimes that we can't do this without you. And when we try to do it on our own, we generally do it wrong. Thank you for your forgiving heart. Thank you that we can come to you as many times as we need to and know that you'll hear us, you'll love us, you'll draw us to yourself, and you'll be merciful and gracious. We are so privileged to be called the children of God. And we are so blessed because you have ministered to us so faithfully in so many ways. I thank you for all these who are here this morning. You know their hearts perfectly. You know what message you have prepared for them. And so, Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that if we ask in faith, you will give us whatever we ask. And so this morning, we just ask for attentive hearts. We ask that you will put that hedge of protection around us. And at least for a few moments, keep those evil forces of darkness, all that would distract us, away from us, that we might give our full attention to the Spirit of God and to the message. Thank you, Father, for your great ministry to so many lives. Thank you for physically healing many of those who have been sick. Thank you for watching over those who have been away. And Father, thank you for reminding all of us that we are your living letters, and that we are your testimony to the world. Forgive us where we have failed this past week to speak up for you, even though you have prompted us and given us opportunity and open doors. Help us to be stronger next time. Father, we thank you for this great land in which we live. And though we understand as your children of God that she has turned her back on you and she has built other high places, she worships other gods. But Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray that the people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, oh God, make us people of prayer. Cause us to seek you with all our heart, to desire all that you have for us. Our Father, as we turn now to your word, it is my prayer that you will speak. I pray that you will use me. Thank you, Father, for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for being all that we need. We lift our prayers in the mighty, eternal, saving name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Somebody might look at the sermon title and say, well, what a dumb question. He's different from us in a whole lot of ways. From a theological perspective, this question provides oh, at least a year's worth of information, but don't panic. We won't be on this particular topic quite that long, although it would be so easy. Do you find God fascinating? Do you find God interesting as you get to know him? Do you ask yourself, how do you do that? And wondering and just in awe. I want to share with you some truths, some attributes, some characteristics of God that are unique to him. Over the next several weeks, I want to share some things that will help you understand not just who God is, but how he works with us and why that's important to us. And I think if you'll kind of take some notes once in a while and then you'll rehearse them, it really will draw you into God. In our personal relationship with God, it's important that we understand. Because when we understand sometimes, not always, but sometimes, it helps us be more aware of misunderstandings and those errors concerning God. And you see, over the years, tradition and legalism have built little walls between us and God, and Satan loves that because it keeps us at bay. You never get to know him as intimately as he would like. So I want to talk with you this morning, and the topic of discussion is God's independence. God's independence. And that's important to us. Wayne Grudem defines it this way. God doesn't need us or the rest of creation for anything. Yet we and the rest of creation can glorify him and bring him joy. As you write that down, I want you to think about that. God does not need us or the rest of creation. Now you might look at that and say, okay, that's more of a negative thing. That doesn't necessarily warm the cockles of my heart. It's the yet part that should draw you. We can honor him, and we can glorify him, and we can bring him joy. So I want you just to ponder that. God's independence is sometimes called God's self-existence. That in itself is fascinating. I love to go there and talk about the very person and being of God, who he is in his essence. In Job and chapter 41, Job kind of lifts this up a little bit. By the way, oftentimes you read through the book of Job, and it's a very philosophical book, and I know you know the story. But you know what? It's a wonderful book to read just to look at the things that are said about God. If you read through Job and you just pay attention and say, okay, God, help me pick up those things that specifically have to do with you. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. In chapter 41 and verse 11, we read this: who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Everything. David says that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God, i.e., it's all his. In Psalm 50 and verse 11, David writes this. When he says, I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the field are mine. Did you ever stop and think about that? The mosquitoes too? Yes. Gnats? Yes. All of it belongs to God. All of it's created by him on purpose, for a purpose. There are literally thousands of verses in Scripture that teach God doesn't need anything from mankind. People have taught in the past and still do teach the heresy that God needed to create because he was lonely and he needed fellowship and companionship from people. Now you see, that's sour from the beginning because that's diminishing God to our level, which is a heinous crime in itself. It is the essence of sin, saying, I will bring God down to my level. It's Satan saying, God knows that when you eat of that tree, you will be like him, which is what Adam and Eve heard, which is what people hear. I want to be like God. Well, there are some ways we can do that, but we will never be totally like God. And we need to understand that God did not need to create. You see, if that were true, then God wouldn't really be independent, would he? He would have a need from outside himself. He doesn't need that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit fill each other in every way, and for us to talk like that, we talk in human terms because beyond that, we can't understand. But you see, they have the perfect setup. They have the perfect relationship. They are fulfilled within themselves. God does not need anything from the outside. Well, how do we know that's true? Oh, beloved, God makes it so clear to us. And Jesus gives us some insight when he's praying in the garden. John chapter 17, he says this in, in verse 5. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And then he says again in verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me, that would be you and me, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. You see, Jesus is telling his Father here, he's praying. I told them that earlier before we came out here. I promised them that if I went and prepared a place for them, that I would go, I would come back and receive them to myself so that they could be with me. Why? Because God wants us with him. God did not intend this separation. And he says, he prays, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. And that's not all. I want them to see my glory. The glory you have given me, why? Because you loved me before the creation of the world. Oh, beloved, it's so magnificent. God invites us in to himself for fellowship, for pleasure. He has everything he could possibly need. The fellowship that they enjoy between each other is so far above anything that you and I can imagine that it's totally incomprehensible to us. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 14, God responds to Moses. When Moses said, okay, let's suppose now that I find a way to accept this challenge and I go back to Egypt and I stand in front of Pharaoh and I say, let my people go, says God. And he says, so who is that? Who am I to tell him? Who am I to tell the people of Israel that sent me? And God says, I am that I am. That's who sent you. It's interesting that of over 2,000 names recorded in Scripture. And by the way, that's not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. I am that I am is the name God chooses to identify himself. Who are you? I'm Richard Utterback. Who are you? Here's who I am. This is me. My nature, my character, my likes, my dislikes. I am that I am is who God is. I am myself, self-existent, never had a beginning, will never have an end. All that can be is in me. It just overwhelms us. That alone, if you begin to think about those kind of things, will put you on your knees before God. Because remember, God is inviting us to himself. All of this is possible, you see, because God is completely satisfied in every way to the highest possible degree. Listen, and he wants to share the satisfaction that he has with us. He wants us to experience that. Okay, so here, eventually you're going to get to this question. If all that's true, and God is totally independent, and he doesn't need any of this, why do I exist? That ever come up at the supper table? Why am I here? Sure. That thought crosses our mind at some point, doesn't it? What's my purpose in life? Why is all of this real? Let me share with you something. Let me share with you a truth. You exist because God wanted you to exist. You exist because God wanted you to exist. Okay? Little interaction here this morning. I love that. I know you're not praying. I can smell the lead burning. That is so exciting. Say this with me. Say this with me. God wanted me. Say that with me. God wanted me. Now say it like this. God wanted me. God wanted me. Say this way. God wanted me. Me. God wanted me. Get it? Get it? Some of you maybe have goosebumps. God did not need me. I am because God desired me to be. Why? From here to here, I learned God wanted me so he could fellowship with me. So I could fellowship with him. Beloved, beloved, because God wanted me is the reason you are. Now, I don't care where you've been this week. I don't care what you're walking through, how deep it is, how dark it is, how tumultuous it is, how complex, how hard on you it is. This is a shelter of refuge. This is a harbor. You are here because God wanted you. You see, he's independent. That means you're here out of the eternal desire of his heart. And my beloved, if you will ponder this, if you will allow this, into the very depths of your heart, it will, in fact, change your life for the rest of your life. You get it. You understand. See, you and I don't get a hold of the idea that God is completely fulfilled and satisfied within the Trinity, more excellently, more vastly, more quantitatively and qualitatively than anything we can imagine. But once we allow God to put deep, deep into our hearts that God delights in us, it begins to make sense. Why am I here? What's the rhyme or reason? I am here out of the desire of God's heart. I'm here. I am. Because God wanted me. And I am His workmanship. I am God's personally designed workmanship. Now you see, because all that's true and it is, we're not meaningless to God. Beloved, you are not a mistake. You are not happenstance. You are not a surprise to God. You are not useless. And you see, the only way you can be a failure is just to turn your back on God. You are here for a specific purpose. You are here by divine design. So it is true. God loves you so much that He made you. He brought you out of His mind into being. And the nice thing is that God does not play favorites. God does not love Americans more than He loves Iranians or anyone else. God does not love brain surgeons more than homeless people or one race over another. Maybe Israel has an edge. See, God loves everybody with all the love that He has. And you and I are part of that. You and I are the recipients of that. And the problem comes, listen to me, the problem comes when we look around and we begin to compare ourselves with other people. Well, I'm not as smart as. I don't get this like I should. Who does? Huh? Come on, let's face it. I'm not as pretty as I could be or as handsome as I could be. Beloved, every day I look in the mirror, I understand that God has a sense of humor. And that's okay with me. Understand? They're more popular than me. Beloved, listen to me. We've got it twisted. Satan loves that. Because see, when we begin to get caught in that, then what goes on? Well, the only place that can go is up. God did this to me. This is God's fault. Well, I can't trust Him. Blah, blah, blah. Beloved, listen to me. It's a level playing field. Paul says, God gave this talent to this person and this gift to this person and this gift to this person. And He did that because we're all part of the body and we all need each other. And it doesn't make a difference how hard-hearted or hard-headed we get. We need each other. Because we fight an enemy that wants to see us destroyed. Because God is independent and doesn't need us, but desired us, we become immensely important. We become unbelievably valuable. Why do we get to be the lucky ones? We're not lucky. We're chosen on purpose by God, by design. And when we allow the Holy Spirit, watch. On Wednesday night, we're working through some different ways God disciplines us. One of the things that we're learning is this, that even when God comes to us and catches us with egg on our face, don't you hate that? You think you got away with it, and all of a sudden, bam, there's God. Huh? And that'd drive you up a wall. But I thought I'd gone to the darkest closet. Surprise. What we're discovering is this. That even when God catches us in our sin, he comes to us and he says, you have started down a wrong path. I am here to bring you back to the right path. That's why all this is happening. And you could do a really good book on the idea that when God first comes to you, he comes to you gently, carefully, with his arm around you, saying, my child, you have started off the path. Let's turn back. And you know what? If you're willing at that point to do that, that's all there need be. Sometimes we make it a little harder because we say, yeah, can't be that bad. I'm not that far off. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. When I was learning to fly and fly an instrument approach, my instructor said there's only one place that that needle can be, and it's straight up and down. He said this, if it's off the width of the needle to the left or the right, you're not going to miss it, or you're not going to find the runway. It's only 100 feet wide. And when you're in the clouds, boy, that looks good, that little strip of cement there that was meant for you. There are other strips of cement, but they're not necessarily ones you can land on. God says, if you will let me, I will keep the needle centered, even when you can't see where you're going. Why? Because God delights in us, and he's ministering to us. And all of that helps us keep our focus upward. We are blessed because we exist, because God wants us to. Then, once we have that in mind, we can learn that we can bring honor and glory and praise to God. Isn't that cool? That's the second truth that I want you to take home. How do we do that? Well, we do that through obedience. Oh, couldn't you use a different word? Yeah. Let's try it this way. We do it by doing what God says. Don't like that either? We do it by following him. We do it by living in harmony with who God is, with the way he is. Say it any way you want to. It always comes back to he's the boss. When we walk with him as he has designed, isn't it Paul that says his way is not grievous to us? His way is not a burden to us? He takes the weight off of us. He does make it easier, doesn't he? Those of you who know that. I'm going to go quickly, I think, to Isaiah chapter 43. Write that down. If you need some encouragement once in a while, you can go to this, and even 44 is kind of neat. And Isaiah 43 says, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Don't you love this statement? I have summoned you by name. Wow, how personal is that? You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Now, Job will tell you when you walk through the fire, it'll try you, it'll purify you, but when you come out, when it's over, you'll be purified like gold. So Isaiah is kind of hinting at that same thing. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone, oh good, that includes you and I, you and me, who is called by my name. Look at that next line. Whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Can you want it any better? Is there any higher purpose? I love this. There is no greater significance than to be significant to the Almighty God who created you. Now, somewhere along the line, that's going to come up. That's going to mean something to you in the battlefield. There are going to be those times when you can't see the daylight. There are going to be those times in your life when you think that the entire army of hell is focused solely on you. And if you can remember, I didn't make this up, somebody else did. If you can remember that, it'll be quite an addition to your armor. How significant are you really to God? Here's how God uses his independence to answer that question in this situation. Here's what the independence of God means to you personally on a daily basis. Totally, totally, without any need for anything in any way from humanity, God the Son, completely free of any influence except the eternal and infinite desire in his heart for you, left heaven's throne room, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, let God the Father punish him to the fullest degree for your sin and sinfulness, and as a result, to declare you righteous and fit to dwell with him in heaven forever. Amen. See, that's how God's independence, as big as that is important to you. Because God did all that, not because he had to, because he wanted to, out of desire. There is no greater significance. Wayne Grudem says to be significant to God is the ultimate significance, and he's right. Let me ask you something. Will this get you through the week? Can you Can you make it on this? Whew. Man, I can. Okay? And I'm nobody. You need a reason? There it is. See, in heaven, you can have all of the benefits God has for you. Does anybody here get into hot fudge sundaes? Oh, you do. Or if you don't like hot fudge, maybe warm caramel is your thing. Hmm? Oh, strawberry, black raspberry. Now there's something to walk to the Bob for. You know what makes it even better? Whipped cream, nuts, and that cherry on top. God has blessed me so much. Really, he gave me a woman that doesn't like those cherries. No, now that's a quality in a woman. Because I get them. Hey. Well, everything that I've told you is the sundae. Here's the whipped cream. We enjoy fellowship with God as the recipients of all God has for us. Wow. All God has for me comes to me as a blessing and fellowship. I'm going to go to Psalm 84. If I'm not moving too fast for you and you want to, you go there with me. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. You might, if you want to, put right there after the word house, 2 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you are the temple of God. Wow. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. If you're at verse 11, read it with me. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Wow. Wow. Most everyone has a desire to know someone or be in the presence of someone, to talk with someone of significance or stature or of position or of title. And it might be that most of us at some time or another have had a chance to meet someone like that. Maybe the top dog at your company, or maybe a governor or a president or a senator. Somebody with title, you see. We don't mind that so much. And we like being recognized by those people. Probably for you and I on a daily basis, those experiences are far and few between, aren't they? But beloved, listen to me. This says that every day, all day long, we have fellowship with Yahweh Elohim, God Himself. We fellowship with He who has the name above all names, with Him before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Would you think that's some pretty elite company? Aren't you glad God is an independent God? Because all of this is of the desire of His heart. You and I can come to Him. Listen, you and I can come to Him with complete freedom. Why? Because He's independent. We can come. Why? Because we've been invited. And when we come, no matter how we come, no matter, we know we will never be shunned. God will never raise His eyebrows. Oh, it's you. God will never be too busy for us. God will never be fed up with us. God will never belittle us. Nor will He ever turn us away. Nor will He ever make you think you failed or you're worthless or, oh well. Come to God 1,000 times a day and He will act as though it's the first time ever. Not because He needs you, because He wants you. And you see, all God has to offer us is without limit or without end, and that's the cherry on the sundae. Wow, wow. Now, beloved, listen, you can rest assured that this week when you're out in the battlefield, that all those forces of evil, all those emissaries of the underworld will come to you and tell you that you are just another one of the world's mistakes. But this is what you need to remember. This is the truth, and you know what? All of these truths make all of that garbage, garbage. You don't need to dwell on it. You see, it's at that time that you need to remember God's independence and all that means to you. It's because God, Yahweh, the God who is God, desired in His heart for you to be a living example of His creative handiwork. You see, it's God's independence that gives you the opportunity, the freedom, even the desire to bring honor and glory and praise to the God who created you. You can praise Him because He's proved to you He's at work in your life, and there are times along the way when Hebrews tell us faith is the evidence of things not seen and the hope of things not visible. God makes those things visible in your life, proving to you that He does care, proving to you He's working in you, proving to you He's interested to you.
You see, he's invited us to fellowship. And he wants us to come as often as we want. I was reading a book by Max Lucado this past week, and in that book he says this: confession is telling God that you did what God saw you do. God cares. Now, from a negative viewpoint, your sin is no secret to God. And you're the only fool if you think you're fooling anybody. But from a positive viewpoint, thank God for your successes. You see, your successes are His handiwork through you. It is evidence to you. You are giving God access to the real you. Thank Him for His patience with you. Thank Him for His great ministry in your life, for that visible, physical evidence that He's real. Beloved, it is because God is independent and that He shares that independence with us. Really, how does He do that? Well, remember, His independence says, I desire for fellowship. So when God puts that into us, we turn it around and we say, I desire fellowship with God. But the catch is this: God doesn't need us. We need Him. We need Him for everything. If you take advantage of this, if you'll think about this, this will open doors in your life of blessing, of fellowship, of insight, of wisdom, of understanding, of God's grace and mercy and patience and kindness, His gentleness, His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His wisdom, all that God is. It'll open doors to you that He might pour out blessings, measures in immeasurable amount. Is it a good thing that God is independent? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I trust that this weekend battle and for the rest of your life, God's independence will stay in your heart because it is the desire that He has to draw you to Him that makes you so important to Him. Is He that important to you? Father, thank You for being such an amazing God who is independent. Thank You for helping us to understand You don't need us. You don't need anything. Oh, God, thank You for taking so much time and being so explicit that You want us, that You have created us on purpose, for a purpose, that You plan to prosper us, not to harm us, that Your design is to give us a hope and a future, that we are Your handiwork created in Christ Jesus, and therefore we have no right to mar it. Father, You know us perfectly. So meet with us where we are and reinforce to us that desire and help us to see that it will strengthen and encourage us in whatever You bring our way. Beginning now and forever through all eternity, we will praise and honor and glorify You. Thank You. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.